Today is Thursday, September 18th, and this is the World Socialist Website. The Social Crisis Fueling the Collapse of Democracy in America by Patrick Martin. In the aftermath of the killing of the far-right ideologue Charlie Kirk, the Trump administration has vowed to dismantle, target, and destroy all domestic political opposition. These hysterical and unhinged statements and actions give the sense of a government and state apparatus that is completely out of control. But behind this frenzy lie deeper processes. What is taking place is not simply political madness, but the violent realignment of American politics under conditions in which the basic interests of the capitalist oligarchy can no longer be reconciled with the needs and aspirations of society as a whole. Yesterday, the World Socialist website wrote in its perspective column, quoting, "The words and actions of the Trump administration cannot be reduced to the fascistic personality of the present occupant of the White House. In the final analysis, Trump is the representative of a capitalist oligarchy whose policies and actions are a response to the intersecting crises confronting American capitalism." End quote. What is happening in America outside of and propelling the frenzy within the political superstructure? Beneath the surface, the basic class contradictions of what Leon Trotsky called the death agony of capitalism are manifesting themselves. Inflation is sharply eroding living standards, while workers and families are burdened with record levels of debt. The first waves of massive cuts to social programs are being felt, alongside the accelerated dismantling of public education. At the same time, unsafe working conditions continue to claim lives every day, with thousands of workers killed on the job each year in what amounts to an industrial slaughterhouse. The ongoing COVID-19 pandemic, entirely ignored by the media and political establishment, continues to exact a deadly toll, even as the remnants of public health infrastructure are dismantled and the most basic protections, including vaccines, are eliminated. One of the leading mouthpieces of big business, the Wall Street Journal, gave a glimpse of this deepening crisis in an article posted Wednesday on its website with the headline, "The Two-Speed Economy is Back, as Low-Income Americans Give Up Gains." The article is published in the newspaper's Thursday print edition under the headline, "Divergent American Economy Gets More Divided." The commentary begins, quote, "There are two economies in the U.S. right now, and they are moving in different directions." The article notes that higher-income Americans, quote, "are still spending like gangbusters," unquote, while for most workers, wage growth, quote, "has petered out." These workers are curbing their spending, and in some cases are struggling to find jobs, unquote. Unemployment is hitting African Americans and young people particularly hard, while home prices and rents are soaring. Quote, "The divided fortunes of rich and poor in the U.S. may sound like an old story," the journal acknowledges, but, quote, "the gulf is widening again." Wage growth for the bottom third of workers was the smallest in August since 2016, and these workers could spend only 0.3% more than a year ago. With inflation at nearly 3% and prices on many essential goods rising much faster than that, this means a cut in real consumption. The gap between working-class families counting every dollar and the comfortable lives of the upper middle class and truly wealthy has never been greater. The journal cited a Moody's Analytics report that the top 10% of households now account for a greater proportion of total spending than ever before, 49.2%, nearly half of all spending, in the second quarter of 2025. Rising unemployment is a major factor in this social polarization. The jobless rate for recent college graduates has hit 6.5%, well above the 4.3% rate for all workers, The jobless rate for black workers is now at 7.5%, up from 6.1% a year ago. Several other reports published this month document the growing chasm between the great mass of the population, the working class, and the financial oligarchy that controls both political parties, the corporate media, and economic life as a whole. According to the Fair Isaac Corporation, or FICO, credit scores for borrowers have fallen for the second straight year, with 2024 showing the biggest drop since 2009, the year of the Wall Street crash. Young adults of Gen Z showed the biggest decrease, partly because of the resumption of delinquency reporting on student loan debt, which had been paused during the initial years of the COVID pandemic. The FICO report observes, quote, delinquency rates on auto loans, credit cards, and personal loans are at or near their highest level since 2009, during the Great Recession, and are more consistent with an economy in recession than one still in expansion, unquote. A report by the Institute for Policy Studies on what it dubs the low-wage 100 firms, the 100 companies in the Fortune 500, with the lowest average pay for workers, found that CEO pay rose 34.7% from 2019 to 2024, more than double the 16.3% increase in median worker pay, which actually represented a cut in wages when inflation is taken into account. The average CEO of the low-wage 100 made $17.2 million, 632 times the pay of the average worker. By far, the widest gap was at Starbucks, at a staggering 6,666 to 1, with new CEO Brian Niccol raking in $95.8 million, compared to the median pay of $14,674. At home and construction goods chain Lowe's, the company spent $46.6 billion on stock buybacks from 2019 through 2024, roughly three times the amount of its annual wages bill. Home Depot spent $37.9 billion on stock buybacks, 1 million times its median pay of $35,196. Earlier this month, two corporate oligarchs extracted record personal payoffs. Tesla CEO Elon Musk was awarded more than $900 billion in prospective future incentive earnings tied to the company's stock price, and Oracle CEO Larry Ellison netted $100 billion in a single day, benefiting from a 40% jump in the stock price, temporarily surpassing Musk as the world's richest man. Overshadowing even this colossal and growing inequality is the specter of a default in the financial markets, with personal, corporate, and government debt all hitting stratospheric levels and runaway speculation in opaque or worthless investment vehicles like cryptocurrencies. A recent editorial in the Wall Street Journal on the collapse of Tricolor, an auto retailer catering to young, low-income, and immigrant workers, expressed the concern that the stresses placed on low-income borrowers could trigger a far wider collapse. Quoting, a broader market problem is that auto lenders in recent years have extended the duration of loans to keep monthly payments affordable. Stretched after years of inflation, low-income borrowers are falling behind on payments and many are underwater on their loans. They owe more than they could get for trading in or selling their cars. Many young people borrowed to buy cars during the pandemic when they didn't have to make student loan repayments. Now they are struggling to repay both. Auto delinquencies and car repossessions are getting closer to 2009 recession levels, yet investors have continued to snap up subprime auto debt. End quote. Under these conditions, the policies of the Trump administration have assumed an increasingly reckless and incendiary character. Its tariff barriers, adopted and modified seemingly at random, are devastating global trade, the driving force of world economic growth. Its foreign policy promotes military conflicts across the globe that threaten to coalesce into a third world war fought with nuclear weapons. This is only a partial portrait of the social crisis in America. The conditions fueling the present breakdown were not created by Trump, but his government, acting on behalf of the corporate financial oligarchy, is vastly accelerating processes that have been developing for decades under both Democrats and Republicans. The same processes are expressed in different forms in every country around the world. It is impossible to understand the violent turn toward dictatorship in American politics outside of this social reality. And it is impossible to seriously oppose dictatorship apart from the development of a mass movement of the working class, directed against the wealth of the oligarchy and the capitalist system on which it rests. Israeli tanks, bulldozers, and ground troops have entered Gaza City. By Kevin Reed. The Israeli assault on Gaza City reached a new level of intensity on Wednesday, as airstrikes were accompanied by tanks rolling down what is left of the streets of the last urban area in the enclave not controlled by the Zionist military. For nearly 2 years, the Israel Defense Forces, or IDF, have mounted an ethnic cleansing operation that has decimated the Palestinian population alongside the destruction of infrastructure and nearly every structure in Gaza. Israeli ground troops, supported by relentless artillery and air power, have succeeded in penetrating the heart of Gaza City. Eyewitnesses have described the latest round of terror unleashed, with hundreds of tanks and armored vehicles methodically advancing through dense residential neighborhoods. Video and photographic evidence obtained by Reuters, the New York Times, Al Jazeera, and the BBC shows columns of tanks and bulldozers entering Sheikh Radwan, a district that was once home to tens of thousands, now reduced to rubble and dust. Wahid Abu Ramadan, a local resident, told Reuters, quote, "We spent the night in darkness, the sounds of bombs and screams all around. When morning came, the tanks were everywhere. The air was unbreathable from the smoke. In my neighbor's house, where they had all fled, was destroyed in seconds." A report by the New York Times chronicled residents' futile attempts to secure safety as missiles, quote, "destroyed multiple high-rise buildings and ambulances ran from strike to strike as bodies were pulled from destroyed homes," unquote. Al Jazeera spoke to Samia Jamal, who survived the bombardment. Quote, "Buildings collapsed while entire families were still inside. The army just keeps shelling and advancing," unquote. Israel's latest attacks, carried out under the military strategy of total victory, killed at least 65 people across the Gaza Strip on Wednesday, according to Gaza's health ministry and corroborated by journalists. 37 of these deaths were in Gaza City following an airstrike that obliterated a school in Sheikh Radwan, where dozens of displaced civilians had sought shelter. One eyewitness recounted to Al Jazeera, quote, "We had just finished morning prayers when the missiles hit. Children, women, old men, everyone was screaming for help. We found at least 12 bodies under the tents in rubble," unquote. The carnage emerged as missile strikes targeted the premises of Al-Ali Hospital and Tuff neighborhood, while an overnight shelling in central and southern sectors of the city killed entire families. Journalists for the New York Times and Al Jazeera described the grisly aftermath. Quote, "Blood covered the floors of the hospital, many killed as they tried to bring the wounded to safety," unquote. The Palestinian Health Ministry listed and named dozens of those killed, including children, teachers, and healthcare workers. The targeting of medical institutions is now routine for the barbarians of Tel Aviv. So are the attacks on journalists who are bringing news about the atrocities to the world. The latest scenes of annihilation unfold as the Gaza Health Ministry's official statistics record over 65,000 Palestinians killed since the genocide began in October 2023. Although the United Nations and monitoring organizations recognize these figures as accurate, it is well known that the death toll exceeds 200,000 people, with two-thirds of them left unrecovered and uncounted in the rubble. The casualties, combined with the near-total destruction of civilian homes, schools, and hospitals, have forced 90% of Gaza's population into perpetual displacement. Famine and lack of medical care have claimed hundreds more lives in recent weeks alone. Amid this systematic devastation, Israel announced the opening of a new temporary evacuation route out of Gaza City, offering a window of 48 hours purportedly to permit civilians to flee before what Israeli politicians call the final occupation of the city. Another measure of the savage mass murder of Palestinians by Israel, the so-called clear routes and humanitarian corridors, are the bombings and gunfire among all major highways south, which are forcing desperate Gazans to navigate a gauntlet of tanks, snipers, and unmapped minefields. One survivor said, quote, "We tried to leave when the leaflets were dropped, but the bombs followed us down the coastal road. If we turn back, we die. If we go forward, we may still die," unquote. The Israeli military claims 350,000 people have already fled Gaza City, yet up to 500,000 remain trapped amid siege and bombardment, unable or unwilling to abandon their homes and relatives. In the words of a Gaza school teacher to Al Jazeera, quote, "I prefer to die here in my neighborhood than become a refugee again," unquote. The ground offensive is unprecedented in scale and firepower, featuring at least three armored formations operating in the heart of Gaza City, according to direct reporting by ABC News and multiple international outlets. Plumes of smoke and fire rise above entire districts, while drone and artillery strikes hit areas designated by Israel as terror sites. Commanders interviewed by ABC News confirm that columns of tanks have encircled the city center, and Israeli media has celebrated the entry of special units into the ruins of municipal government compounds, with no discussion of withdrawal plans other than, quote, "the total dismantling of Hamas," unquote. The Israeli defense minister declared, quote, "Gaza is burning." This massive crime by Israel, which has been clear to the world's population for 23 months now, was finally recognized by U.S. Senator Bernie Sanders on Wednesday, who declared for the first time on the Senate floor that Israel, quote, "is committing genocide in Gaza," unquote. Sanders referenced the United Nations Commission of Inquiry's report on genocide and mounting legal and human rights findings that document the Israeli assault as a policy of deliberate extermination and displacement. Sanders said, quote, "The intent is unmistakable. The conclusion is undeniable," unquote. Sanders' statement was echoed by others, such as Vermont Democratic Party Representative Becca Bellent, herself of Jewish heritage, who wrote, quote, "The suffering transcends the tragic loss of life typical of war. At this juncture, the calculations of the Netanyahu administration appear to be a calculated, intentional obliteration of the Palestinian people." The use of the word "appear" undermines the charade of such statements. Meanwhile, these words from Sanders and other Democratic Party officials arrive as the Zionist military moves to complete the ethnic cleansing operation that has been directed by both the Biden and Trump administrations. Like the report on Gaza released by Democratic Senators Van Hollen and Merkley 1 week ago, these statements are part of an 11th-hour effort by a section of the Democratic Party to save face while Palestine is being wiped off the face of the earth. One day earlier, U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio, standing next to Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in Jerusalem, described Palestinians as barbaric animals, which is the language that echoes the Nazi extermination of Jews in World War II. The imperialist plans of Israel and the U.S. is for the forced expulsion of all Palestinians from Gaza, followed by privatization and reconstruction of the region for elite tourism and corporate development. The proposal for a Gaza Riviera, detailed in leaked State Department documents and confirmed by media such as CNBC and CNN, envisages the relocation of over 2 million residents, digital voluntary resettlement exchanges, and the building of AI-driven smart cities to replace the ruins of Palestinian communities. In a grotesque AI-generated promotional video, Donald Trump boasted of a beachfront resort to be built atop the devastation. The refusal to allow the return of refugees, the ongoing destruction of records, and the refusal to allow journalists or aid agencies into Gaza all point to a monstrous crime that points to the future that humanity faces in the 21st century under world capitalism. This has been Paul Fuller for the World Socialist Website.
The World Socialist Website is published by the International Committee of the Fourth International, the ICFI, the leadership of the World Socialist Movement, the Fourth International founded by Leon Trotsky in 1938. The World Socialist Website relies entirely on the donations of readers and listeners for financial support. To give to the WSWS or to set up a regular monthly contribution, go to wsws.org/donate. We urge our listeners to join the International Committee of the Fourth International and one of its affiliated political parties and take up the struggle for socialism.